saying, "We're past the time when we can rely on a rising tide to lift all boats. Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney is prioritizing an inclusive neighborhood approach to planning and development." Now just shy of completing his first 2 months in office, let's see how that effort is going with Anne Fedulin, new Director of Planning and Development for the City of Philadelphia. Anne, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Sure. Pleasure to be here.
And you were part of this transition committee. What were some of the bullet points that were developed?
Yes. Yeah, so I was co-chair of the Housing Planning and Development Transition Committee. And I think some of the key things that were developed is how important it was for the city to have an overall strategic housing plan. We have done a good job of having affordable housing plans and some other types of neighborhood plans, but there's really a need now to take a look at housing as a whole and not just focus on what are we going to do with federal subsidy dollars in the way of doing affordable housing, but how are we going to do equitable development and try to provide housing choice in as many neighborhoods as possible.
What are some of the main ways that Mayor Kenney's plan diverges from that of his predecessor, Michael Nutter?
I think actually it's very informed by the Nutter administration. They had kind of created this very large umbrella connecting planning, housing, and commercial development all as one, all under Alan Greenberger, who I have to say did a fabulous job. I think those of us who saw what the city was like in 2008 when kind of the whole world fell off a cliff, and then what we're seeing, you know, now or at the end of 2015 when that administration left office, I don't think any of us would have predicted in 2008 that we'd see what we saw in 2015. And Mayor Kenney wants to build on that, and I think we want to figure out how to keep this trend going in Philadelphia. We're learning how to be a growth city as opposed to a city that was managing decline. But I think what we learned in that period is while there's a lot more cranes in the sky and there's a lot of development in Center City, that we're not necessarily seeing the economic development we'd like to see in our neighborhoods. And we're not necessarily seeing the job growth numbers we would have liked to have seen.
So as evidenced in part by the plethora of vacant land still to this day. What are plans for those properties?
Right. So the city did create a land bank. There's been a lot of kind of behind the scenes work done there, getting titles cleared, figuring out what we really own and those kinds of things. Now at the end of 2015, we just started to see the first parcels of land get transferred into the land bank. I believe we're around 1,700 parcels now. So we're well on our goal to try to get, around upwards of 2,000 in there by the end of this year. And now we've got to figure out the other part of that equation, which is, land bank is a little bit of a misnomer. We don't necessarily want to bank the land there. We actually want people to withdraw it and get it back into productive use. So we're looking very closely at what we can do to jumpstart getting land out of the land bank. And then also we have a tool for acquisition that may allow us to combine into some larger parcels that may be more ripe for development.
And speak to the inherent tension in a public-private partnership where developers want to make a buck. That's their purpose. And so that would push them more toward segments of the city where that dollar can perhaps more easily be made than in other neighborhoods.
Right. The perception of what Center City was maybe 15, 20 years ago, that has really grown. Center City encompasses a much larger area now. The interesting things that have happened in Center City and why and people want to be close to that, but they can't afford as much proximity as they may have before. So we're seeing that spread out a little bit into some of the neighborhoods, but not into all of the neighborhoods. And while there's this dichotomy between, let's say, affordable and more market rate, I really think that sometimes that's a false pretext because we need both. And they don't necessarily need to conflict with each other. We'd like to make more investment into the city. And in order to do that, we need a tax base. And so it's great to attract that market in here, but we need to provide quality, affordable housing to all of our residents. It's not the easiest conundrum, but I think there's probably more commonality there than people realize.
What about the specific housing available for, by some measures, the 6,000 Philadelphians who sleep on the streets on any given night?
So I think that through the efforts of the advocates, the well-known one, Sister Mary, and also then creating the Office of Community Empowerment, that we're really looking at that. I think we've embraced the idea of housing first. It used to be until you got all your other treatment and your social services in line, you couldn't get a housing unit. Now we realize that getting a housing unit is really important. And so we're trying to figure out how we can take the folks that understand the kind of services those people need and connect them more with the people who understand how to implement and get housing built.
It's certainly impossible to measure day-by-day project planning bears fruit over months and more typically years. How do you determine the metrics by which you know your plan is more or less succeeding or whether it needs to be tweaked down the road?
Right. So one of our favorite sayings is it's a marathon, not a sprint. And I think, you know, we have to really measure a few different things. We have seen some drastic cuts in our federal funding and the dollars that we have available. Yet we want to look at things like population growth, income growth, who we're attracting, what does our population look like? And so I think there are different metrics that we can look at. You know, one of the things that we like to see now is how many cranes we have in the sky and those kinds of things, which, again, is great for what's happening around the universities and in Center City. But I think what we'd like to see, again, it's not going to be tomorrow, but in the next several years, is to see some of that capital getting into the neighborhoods, but in a way where existing residents can take advantage.
Philadelphia is rich in its universities and a vibrant center city. Your background, I understand, goes all the way back to the Good administration and then on with Rendell. Is it more appropriate to look at Philadelphia's past as prologue for what would be happening next? Or do you also look to perhaps other analogous cities of our size and stature for tips and tricks on how to proceed?
Right. So I think we want to do both, honestly. We want to look at lessons learned in Philadelphia. And, you know, we do have somewhat of a unique environment that I think as Philadelphians, at least for me, I feel that for the first time in a long time, we seem to be very proud of that, which I think is great. And so I used to teach a class on development in the Citizens Planning Institute. And one of the things that I told the students was how great it was to live in Philadelphia because we've got an example of almost everything right here. And I think that comes out in our recent designation as the only World Heritage City in North America. But I do think there's also things that we can learn from other places, and we should be investigating best practices and then not necessarily saying, well, we can't totally replicate that in Philadelphia, so we should just discount that. We should figure out, well, how can we make it work here? And we should be learning from other places and not thinking that we have to come up with everything on our own, or that, you know, Philadelphia is kind of fine the way it is and we should just have this tunnel vision around Philadelphia. We really need to be open and be looking at how things are done well in almost any place.
Not only not tunnel vision, but obviously Philadelphia doesn't exist in isolation. The Philadelphia region is not on an island. And realistically, to what extent can a city like Philadelphia shape itself in the context of national and international economic ups and downs?
Right. So I think it's really interesting because oftentimes, for example, the recent snowstorm, if you watched on national news, they talked about how hard it was going to hit Washington and how hard it was going to hit New York. And you thought, well, hey, we're here. We're, you know, we're there. We're right there on that map, right there smack in the middle. And then, you know, not that much longer, maybe a couple weeks later, we were the number one travel designation in Lonely Planet, right? So I think it's just, it's really understanding that if you create this vibrant city, which I think Philadelphia is really becoming, you know, the number of restaurants we have, the entertainment, the walkability, the shopping that we have, the museums, arts and culture, you know, all of that combined is really important for the region. And I think, you know, there's a lot of talk about the millennials and our ability to attract millennials, right? And we have to really look at them because they function, and not every millennial, you know, I know there's a gajillion of them and they all aren't exactly the same, but they function in a much, much different way than, for example, when I was 20. and their ability to use technology and to connect with each other via technology, that it's really becoming, we're not that far away, I believe, from when you can do almost anything you want from wherever you want to do it. So then place becomes really, really important, and you need people to pick your place. And so I think the things that Philadelphia is trying to do around placemaking, the, you know, investment in parks and rec centers and, and all the pop-up things we've seen, all those things that make Philadelphia a vibrant, exciting place to be, I think really helps the region. I mean, the more we attract people to the area, the better all of us do.
Ann Fadulin, thanks so much for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure being here. I really appreciate it.
Ann Fadulin is the new Director of Planning and Development for the City of Philadelphia.